Hello, everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Michael and Patty Show. I'm Michael.
And I'm Patty.
And we're coming to you recorded within feet of the Charlottetown waterfront, looking out on the Charlottetown Yacht Club here. It's a gloomy day. We had some liquid sunshine this morning, but the summer is just around the corner. And how is Patty today?
I am good. I actually just got back from Halifax. I visited my daughter, who turned 30 years old this weekend.
Well, congratulations.
Yes, I'm very proud of her.
So. Did you tell her we talk about her all the time on the podcast?
I don't think I've told her that her name has been mentioned a few times. So if she does listen, hi, Kayla, it will be a little bit of a surprise for her.
We're getting up to about 100 episodes, so she'll have to listen to quite a few to find out how many times we've mentioned her name. So after 100 episodes, we're in the top 1% of podcasts, because most people have quit by then, so it's good to see the continuous entertainment coming from the PEI real estate business. It's never a dull moment, for sure.
Yeah, and that's, I think, one of the reasons probably a lot of podcasts don't make it to this point is because what's the content consist of and how much is there to deliver? But absolutely, there's so much to learn, so much involved in the whole buying and selling of real estate that hopefully we've covered a lot of information and we have more to cover in the future.
Well, there's never a shortage of things to discuss. Sometimes we will discuss them more than once, but it's only because it keeps coming up or it's seasonal. So this being the spring, we'll cover things that happen in the spring, and a couple of our topics actually get into that. Recently, and I think you're aware of this, I put in action a YouTube video of me driving through a neighborhood, discussing the neighborhood and how many houses are there, how many houses have transacted on MLS, what the average value is, the high value, the low value, and anything else I can think about these subdivisions, including problems with water infiltration, wet basements, you know, who was building these houses, are these spec homes, are these individuals building it? So I just started that. I know you've had this idea for years, and so have I. I've just failed to execute it because it takes a bit of work and research and everything else, video editing. What do you think about that? You're going to join me on some of these in the future once we work out the template and everything else, so to speak.
It has been something. I actually have all the neighborhoods already outlined that I've been wanting to do for years. But when our market started to take off in 2016, we were quite busy. And then assuming it was going to slow after 2019 and we were going to get an opportunity to maybe get into some of these other areas of marketing and marketing subdivisions and little neighborhood communities, COVID happened. And yes, it's a perfect opportunity now because things are just kind of back to normal, if you will, here, the normal real estate volume transacting.
So if you want to check that out, go to my YouTube channel. We did Sandalwood Park, which is in West Royalty. Give us some feedback. Let us know what you would like to see. But it's basically an on-the-ground tour of particular neighborhoods.
Yeah, and if there's a neighborhood that you're interested in and you would like to see one of these videos done, be sure to drop us a line and we will put it on the list.
And for other information about PEI real estate, we always mention to join our weekly newsletters. Check us out on Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn. We're pretty well everywhere. And a great source of information is always the government website at gov.pe.ca or type in peiplay.com for any tourist information magazines and maps. Moving along here, I did a bit of an experiment since we were creating the YouTube videos of neighborhoods, and I thought this was really cool, and it would be pretty decent if you're a buyer looking at property and you just want to get some statistical information. What I did is I went into Google, I clipped a picture of the neighborhood that I was looking at, which was basically a rectangle. I took that picture, I brought it into ChatGPT, and I asked ChatGPT to count how many houses there were, because I wanted to know how many people are in this community, because I knew 130 houses had transacted, but how many houses were in that neighborhood. And not only did it count the amount of houses, which was about 150, it also gave me a summary of how many houses were on each street, which was pretty cool. And then I asked it to tell me about this community. So it actually described the community, and then I asked it what's around this community. So then it told me about shopping, entertainment, Walmart, Home Depot, shopping malls, the school that was nearby, walking trails. So all of this can be done in ChatGPT. Now you can now upload photos and it will disseminate the information from that. It's quite mind-blowing.
Yeah, and it's a great tool to at least, while you're trying to figure out or establish which subdivision or where do I want to move to or do I want to raise my children in, I think it's a great start for sure, not to replace a realtor's involvement. But if you can narrow down and here's a few areas that I'm primarily interested in, it will definitely eliminate a little bit of the frustration and feeling overwhelmed that you're all over, whether it's a rural area or you're in Summerside, Charlottetown. I don't know which subdivision to pick. I think it's a great opportunity. I haven't used this way yet, Michael, so I'm curious to see, pull a few subdivisions just as an experiment.
Well, the next subdivision I'm doing, I actually ran the history through ChatGPT, and it said it was originally owned by a farmer in 1763, which is pretty cool to be able to go back that far. But check it out. Go to ChatGPT or whatever AI device you use that you can upload photos and see what information it can provide to you or how it can disseminate those photos.
And then have your realtor pull the stats for that area to determine what your average property price is, what they perhaps the highest priced property in that area that has transacted, to help determine whether or not the property you may be interested in, is it priced appropriately for that particular subdivision? That's just getting really hyper-local in your comparative market analysis.
Well, in the video I did, I wanted median price, high sale price, lowest sale price, and what is active. And what I found in this one particular subdivision is there's three listings, and one of them was just completely out to lunch in price. I don't know if they're ever going to get that number, but I think they're like $100,000 over what any other house is sold for in this whole subdivision. And all these houses are very similar, as you know.
Yeah, I think just saying that, Michael, so somebody, if you're a listener and you're from out of province and you're in Ontario and this property, if this, let's just say hypothetically, this is the one that you ended up coming across. And in your opinion, based on your market, you may think this looks like a great deal. Be sure to ask your realtor to pull some data and get some information, because where this is going to come back and be a pain point, obviously the seller is going to be happy that, you know, you've paid an inflated price if it is inflated for this particular property or the most expensive property in the subdivision. But should your circumstances change and you do need to end up selling that property in a couple years' time, preferably in less than 5 years, chances of you maybe finding you again to pay that inflated price or that inflated check might take you a long time.
I find the biggest concern or problem is when you come from another market where the cheapest house in town is $950 and it's 400 square feet next to the railroad station. And then you come here and you see a 7 or 8 year old home that's 2,000 square feet with a double car garage for $625. People are inclined to say, oh, geez, what a deal. But only to find out that the stats say there's never been a house sale over five. So definitely grab those stats from your agent. ChatGPT could not generate the sales numbers and the active data and the sold data for me. So that's something your agent's going to have to do. Next, we'll move along to unethical behavior from property managers / real estate agents. And this basically deals with seniors looking to downsize. So essentially what they're doing is they have a house they've probably lived in for the last 20, 30, 40, 50 years. And they're looking to downsize, typically into like a row house, townhouse, you know, single floor, 1,000 square feet. And they're being held hostage by the property manager because they just happen to have their real estate license. And they're telling them that unless they list their house with them, they're not going to rent the apartment. This is so unethical and immoral on so many levels. And they're getting away with it. And they've done it for years. And the only reason is because the senior citizens won't make a complaint with IRAC, Island Regulatory Appeals Commission. to rectify this behavior. This should not be happening. It's just not the way to treat people, particularly our seniors. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes. And it's not just only rentals. It's purchasing. Sometimes there's little pocket communities that the homes are on slabs, they're bungalows. And in order to be able to purchase one of these downsizing homes and relieve themselves of the responsibility of a large family home with a larger yard, you know, the maintenance and that's involved in that, they have to use the particular property manager / realtor company in order to be able to get into this community. It's completely unacceptable.
And if you do have any questions about stuff like this going on or anything going on, feel free to call IRAC, Island Regulatory Appeals Commission. You can find their info at irac.pe.ca. That's IRAC. And go under Lands Protection.
Yeah.
Or Tenant. I think it's under Lands Protection and Tenant Protection or something. Go find it.
It is something that needs to be reported. We actually have clients who are
several.
One that just stands out in my mind. And they are, exactly as you described it, feel like they're being held hostage in their large home because they want to purchase through us and sell their home through us, but they're being told that they're not allowed. If they want in this community, they're going to have to use them. If not, they cannot be guaranteed a unit. So they are still in this home. They are getting, they're aging, and I know they're a little bit overwhelmed with some health issues and that starting to present themselves, and I feel so bad for them. But they won't report just in case they have no choice but as to move into this little community subdivision.
Somebody has to make a stand. Moving to our next topic, which comes up quite frequently, is you get a lot of people asking you, well, can I do this, that, and the other thing with this piece of land I'm buying? And that reverts back to our restrictive and protective covenants conversation. A lot of this has to do with people that want to put mini homes or prefabbed homes on a building lot. So what protective and restrictive covenants dictate is they dictate the rules for that particular building lot. In most cases in PEI, if you're in a community, there will be protective and restrictive covenants. Now, there are some that don't have them, but it's not necessarily a plus either because you're in a community that people can do basically anything. What protective covenants will dictate is there's no operation of a business, the minimum square footage. They may state that there's no mini homes, no RVs, no recreational vehicles, no temporary structure. There is very, very few communities in PEI that will restrict seasonal, daily, or weekly rentals. I only know of one. Whether they have HOA fees, a lot of times in PEI, these are not really officiated with a formal HOA. You'll just get people that will chuck in $250 to $500 a year to maintain the road. And also, who maintains the road, who owns the road, and who pays to keep it up?
Yeah.
Anything else?
No, I was just going to HOA for anyone who doesn't know what that means, and they're going to have to veer off
and
Google it.
Ho-ha.
That's what it sounds like if you're going to try to say it, but homeowner association.
Which in a lot of communities isn't really formally set up. It just happens to be the people that are living there.
No, absolutely. And another thing is, so if you're a seller and you're selling a property that has covenants in that, ask your realtor, do they have that information available, you know, for prospective clients? And if you're a realtor listening to this, and I remember back in the days and when we didn't have access to all this information on GeoLink at a flat rate fee on a monthly basis, we used to have to pay per each document.
We used to pay for each click of the house.
I know. Today, what I'm finding is there are properties out there on the MLS that don't have the covenants attached when this property does have a covenant or a survey attached or just the documents that are pulled from our GeoLink government system. What's going to happen is in time, with all of us clicking in and taking advantage, so if there's 530 realtors, and even say only half of them have buyers that might be interested, or even half of them at 125 plus agents all clicking for the same covenants. So if you're a realtor, please make sure you have all those documents attached too. It then just doesn't look like as realtors we're abusing our privilege and the small fee that we are currently being charged compared to what it could potentially cost us.
Patty, that sounds like a pet peeve of yours.
It truly is a pet peeve. I hate knowing that other agents, I know when I'm answering questions for a buyer, I'm in there having to dig and find all this information, and that's fine. It is part of my job. But if that information is already as an attachment and a document on our MLS system, I could cut my time down in half, make sure that nothing is missed, all the documents are attached, and just provide better service to our consumers and public.
Not to mention the fact that if GLIC is down, which it rarely is, you have that information already. Moving along, and this is one of these topics that is cyclic, and since it's the spring, the property taxes will be coming out. Maybe you can tell people about appealing their property tax assessment.
Yeah, so if your property tax assessment, let's just say you just purchased a property on PEI, and we'll just use simple numbers here. You purchased a piece of land for $100,000, but yet it's assessed at $130,000 or $150,000. Your tax assessment should not exceed your purchase price. You definitely have grounds to put in an appeal and request a review from the province with regards to those property taxes. The same is true if you have a cottage property and perhaps it now is 20 years old, whether you're just buying it or, you know, take a look at your numbers. We should all be looking at our credit card statements, our bank statements, as well as your tax statements, which this is tax season and all the new tax assessment numbers are going to be coming out. They weren't released on Thursday or Friday last week, but they should be by the first week of May available to the public. So take a look, do a reconciliation, make sure that the numbers are in alignment. If you're wondering what your property would be evaluated or assessed at, you could always ask a realtor, could you do a quick assessment on my property? You know, if you're not looking to sell, it may take them a couple days. So just let them know you're not in a big rush. But
and be honest with them and tell them you're looking to reduce your property taxes or get a legitimate value.
Yeah.
Don't tell them you're selling just to get free services. Just be honest. Honesty is always the best policy.
I agree. But then that will help you in turn to be able to determine, am I overpaying for my property taxes? And the province will review it.
So on your property tax bill, I think it's on the back of the form to appeal your property taxes. Do that if you need to. Make sure it's accompanied by a CMA or more than one CMA and one or more appraisals. If it's something major, it would be worth getting an appraisal done too. And I've done it in the past. Just keep an eye on those property tax assessments. And in closing, the other thing you want to look for is your resident discount. If you're not already aware, if you're a resident of PEI, you will receive approximately a 1/3 discount that is noted on the tax bill where they summarize what you're paying for. There should be a discount. I think it's the second or third line on that list.
Yeah, there's a provincial credit for residents. So if you are a resident, when I had moved here about 16 years ago, there was a declaration that needed to be signed. I don't believe that is something that is still being done in the same way. Again, when you get your property taxes in the mail, which we'll all end up receiving in the next couple weeks here, just take a look and make sure you're getting your provincial credit and make sure that the number aligns with what it actually is, it would fare on the market.
Placing a value on raw land. This has always been a huge challenge with the PEI real estate market. because you'll see the exact same property, and I'll give you actual facts. In a subdivision, there might have been, or there actually was, two lots that sold for $40,000, and it wasn't a month later where a lot sold for $75,000. So that's almost 100% difference. So in putting values on land, it's extremely subjective. So just be very, very careful when you're buying land that you are not overpaying, and look at those comparables that the agent or the appraiser is using, because you could be stuck with that property for a very, very long time if you intend to sell. And of course, everyone says, well, I'm never going to sell this property. Well, if that was the case, we wouldn't have any listings in PEI at all. Anything to input as far as putting values on land, because they're just all willy-nilly all over the place?
Yeah.
Because the buyers are buying them emotionally too, right?
Well, they are purchasing them emotionally. They're also trusting that what is on the, what the property is being offered on the MLS is what market value or pretty close to. And you just want to make sure that, again, do a, what we call a reverse CMA. Find out what the most expensive property is that sold, perhaps maybe the cheapest. And again, only in the last couple of years. You don't want to pull back 20 years ago and go, well, this property only sold for X amount of dollars. But do your research, do your due diligence, because yes, you could end up holding on that to that property for a very long time.
I had two building lots and it took me 14 years to sell them.
Yeah, we had one really good year for land in my 15 plus years of real estate, and that was 2022. Land just kind of, the property sales went up to almost 1,000 pieces of land sold that year, whereas usually we only sell around 500, give or take. And I was quite surprised at how much land volume was going out. However, that is not today. If anyone tells you land is still a hot commodity on the island, the market has settled again, and property values, because they were starting to go for a good price in 2022, they are still correcting, and you just don't want to be one that is caught in the correction.
And that plays into our next topic, which is it's easy to get into property, but sometimes it's not that easy to get out, particularly when you're selling either a land or a house that's in a very remote rural location. Obviously, the things that are in the big cities, you know, if you want to consider Charlottetown a big city, is going to sell quicker than something that's an hour and a half from town. So just keep that in mind. And of course, the more expensive a property is, the longer it's going to take to sell as well. The subdivision I'm doing on my YouTube channel next, the average value in the subdivision is around $550,000, and currently there's two houses, I think, or maybe three, that are listed for $1 million to $1,250,000, which is a reach, to say the least. But what are they looking for? They're looking for that unsuspecting buyer that moves from a town that waterfront homes are $8 or $9 million. And all of a sudden they see this house for 1.25, they think it's a great deal and buy it, only to find out it was probably only worth about 750. Getting into property, do your research, and always, as a professional real estate person, I'll always look at the exit strategy first, not the buying strategy.
Yeah, and make sure you have a good rapport with your realtor that you're working with, and that you trust that they're providing good information to you and not just trying to get a sale on the property. Also, have your own buyer's agent, because if you're contacting the listing agent on these properties, the listing agent represents the seller, and therefore they're going to try to get their seller the best dollar possible. So if you're looking at properties, I strongly recommend not being somebody that's calling every single listing agent, because you're doing yourself a disservice. Yes. And so land sales, just with regards to and ending this part of our conversation, land sales have been down as a result of lack of builders on Prince Edward Island. I actually have a couple lots for sale in a subdivision where I've had clients reaching out to me saying that they had seen this property or these properties on with another agent, you know, a couple years ago. And the reason they never purchased it is they couldn't find a builder. And they are trying to see if they can find a builder that will build in a reasonable amount of time. And they haven't found one yet. So I wouldn't say our timelines for that have yet corrected themselves or are better. Hopefully, builders are not as extended, overly extended as they were during, you know, 2021 and 22. But we are still recovering from the chaos of COVID, and just something to keep in mind too, if you're buying a piece of land, how long is it going to take for you to get your name on the list with a builder to get what you want built, put on it?
Trying to find renovation people, people do smaller jobs, building houses, the larger jobs, I just find it's hard to find anyone to do anything because they're just so busy.
Yeah, so if you're a builder looking to relocate to PEI because you want work,
you'll be busy for many years.
Yes.
And same with handymen. You know, electricians, plumber, handymen, renovators. I mean, we need all of that here. We're a small province and there's just not enough people to go around, and the people that are doing it, I mean, we've been waiting for stuff to get done for years. We're still on the list. I don't know where on the list, but I know I've been waiting for stuff. Moving along. What would you say if someone says, I have a friend that wants to buy my property? There's so many different angles to that, but I'll give you my number one point would be, unless you have exposure to the open market, because real estate essentially is a auction, it's almost like a reverse auction where you're starting high and usually settling low unless you get into multiple offers and it goes the other way. But without exposing your property to the market, you may not be getting maximum value for that property if you're selling it to a friend, unless you're extremely well educated on what you think the market is as far as the market value of that property. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And sometimes, I mean, unless it's like a family member or a close friend that you're not worried about your equity in your home, and it's partially could be looked at as a gift. The reason somebody would approach a seller directly to try to negotiate a contract agreement is because they're trying to get the property at a discounted amount so that there are no realtor fees involved. They are going to negotiate with an untrained seller, try to get the price down, and you could be leaving so much money on the table unknowingly and trying to do a good deed and a good favor to this particular friend. I have many clients that do sell to, over the years, to family and friends and say, I'm going through Patty, we'll put it all through her. And they do well at the end of the day because I do make sure everything's done as fair as possible. But in what you're presenting, Michael, is by not having that same property offered to the public to generate maximum exposure, which therefore would translate into the highest, hopefully, dollar potential that could be made off of that property, you're kind of missing out on that.
And it's kind of funny where, you know, a buyer will come along to buy off a friend and they'll say, I'll save you realtor fees. Well, big deal. Yeah, you're saving me 5 or 6%, but then I'm losing 25.
Yeah, exactly.
Penny wise and pound foolish. On the open market, you're typically going to get more money for that property. Unless getting more money doesn't matter, then by all means, sell it to a friend. How to avoid lawsuits. As I said earlier in this podcast, if you are selling, do not hide things. If you have a leaky basement, disclose it. If you have buried tires in your backyard, disclose it. If you have the smell of a pig farm next door, disclose it. Honesty is the best policy. Disclose it, and preferably put it in writing or put it on the PCDS, the property disclosure form, or have an amendment to the PCDS, because you do not want to go down the road of a lawsuit, because in most cases, your legal bills will far surpass whatever you think you're saving by misrepresenting the property. And at the end of the day, it's just not an honest thing to do.
I feel too. I mean, most people are generally pretty honest out there. However, yes, I know of properties that have had oil tanks buried and very well known. They know that this stuff is there and they just said that it slipped their mind. They forgot about
it. So what are they going to do? First thing the lawyers are going to do, if they're smarter, a private investigator, is talk to the neighbors and say, listen, Did you know these guys had a bunch of oil tanks buried in their backyard? And the neighbors are going to say, yeah, they were standing there while the excavator was there digging the big hole. Now you got witnesses, now you got a lawsuit that you're going to win because you've got neighbors collaborating the fact that these guys were fully aware of this situation and they failed to disclose it.
Which again, if you're a realtor and you're listing a property, you need to ask good questions and as many questions as you possibly can, because some sellers, they don't do this every day. And sometimes there's first-time sellers that are selling their first home that they've been in for 30, 40 years. And unless you present, here's everything that I need to know about the property, you could be partially responsible. You know, we work together. So try to make sure that you ask really good questions, sometimes the hard questions, and make sure you document as much as you can, put it on the property condition disclosure statement, which will also help protect you. So if everything's documented, it will obviously improve communications between your seller, your realtor, and then the potential buyer and their agent, as well as the lawyers.
One of the questions we get from time to time with people that are from out of province selling homes in PEI is if the agent is going to stage a home for sale. And in my experience, that's typically not going to happen because it's really expensive and we really don't have any staging companies here. And my feelings are a lot of homes sell better if they're not staged, if they're vacant, because I know there's buyers like me that look for vacant homes that I can move into right away rather than waiting your typical 60 to 90 days to close.
Yes, and because our price point, I could see in some of the bigger city centers across Canada where these homes are going for a couple million dollars and staging is, it can cost a couple thousand dollars a month in some homes if you're renting the furniture. It's just not where our market is here. And the best staging is typically utilizing what the seller already has if we're not in a vacant home, and just making sure that you eliminate a lot of the patterns, position the furniture in certain areas, bring out some flat, you know, colored, all one color comforters, throw blankets, get rid of the doilies and the flowered vinyl tabletop to protect your wood dining room table. These are just things that are so easy to do. And that in itself is staging a home, getting rid of everything on the counter. So it's not something that I typically pay for, but I do help my clients and give them tips and advice on how to make sure that our marketing photography looks so much better with these little, obviously, tidbits and tips.
And of course, now there's virtual or AI staging, which you need to disclose as per one of our previous podcasts. Advertising a house or land with no restrictions. To sum it up in one line, there's no such thing as a property anywhere I know of that has no restrictions. To buy a piece of land and expect to build a nuclear power plant or a 50-story hotel or put a pig farm in or a dairy farm or whatever the case may be, all land will have restrictions. So it's really important in PEI, if you are buying a piece of property, you need to confirm if there's any restrictive or protective covenants. You typically would want to follow those. And then you would further it up with a conversation to access PEI, the building department, to find out if you can do things like add 3 outbuildings, extend the garage, add a detached garage, add square footage, whatever, put a whale watching tower in. Just make sure that you look at your restrictive or protective covenants and you talk to access PEI as well. Any advice in addition to that? Pretty simple.
I think you're straightforward.
There's no property with no restrictions. We'll cover this last topic real quick.
Yeah. So the pros and cons of too much information being offered onto our multiple listing service on our MLS. I know people like floor plans. They will put on too many pictures. There's videos, 360 video, 3D drawings. So some of the pros to that is, if you're not on island, you'll get a lot of information about a property and feel very well informed. But a con to that, having way too much information, could be perhaps the layout doesn't look 100% what I'm looking for. And if you don't get them in there because there could be something else that could resonate with that buyer, you've just lost them because you've provided way too much information. Not to say, and again, bigger cities across Canada, I would be very apprehensive on doing this. It's nice because PEI is pretty low in crime and a reasonably safe place to live. But to show all your exit points and be able to have a, you know,
your Rolex watch is on the bedroom table.
The value of your furniture. They can just stand and look around and say, what room do I need to go to? And where's all the spots that I need to pay attention to should I end up breaking into this house? Or I attend an open house.
The bottom line is follow the car industry. They got a little picture of the mirror, picture of half of the steering wheel. The idea is to get you into the showroom. It's the same with real estate. Do not supply too much information.
Yeah, because it's a feeling. Most people buy on PEI for the emotion, the experience, the lifestyle, and to deny them the opportunity to go into the home, to experience the home from an emotional standpoint, I think is doing them a disservice and the seller. So thank you again for listening to another episode of the Michael and Patty Show, otherwise known as MAPS, the Prince Edward Island podcast that helps navigate and guide you through the buying and selling of real estate, as well as some fun facts and information and fun tools about Prince Edward Island.
That's it. Let's wait for the sun to come up.
Wait till the summer hits.
Be sure to subscribe or follow the podcast. Give us a star rating and any comments you might have. And if there's anything you want to hear about PEI Real Estate or Prince Edward Island in general, shoot Patty or I an email. Thanks for listening once again and take care.
Yeah, till next time. Have a great day.